It's Friday, July 5th. It's the day after. And we're hoping that you're still in a meat coma from yesterday, because July 4th is all about eating meat until you pass out. I mean, why would you have a side when you can have more meat?
It's more about explosions. But meat is important. Meat and explosions.
They've outlawed explosions pretty much everywhere.
It's disappointing. It is sort of descriptive of the world we live in, where most of the fireworks are illegal in most places to celebrate the freedoms that our country gave us.
You know how unsettling it is when you go to Walmart and you buy a bag of fertilizer, and as soon as it's like, boop, and then it's just, and the cashier has to like put in a code to make it stop beeping because you're buying a bag of fertilizer.
And everybody knows that the best way to ring in the freedom of the birth of our country was fertilizer bombs.
There goes the monetization.
Everybody's Googling fertilizer bombs. But let's not worry about that. Let's not worry about the erosion of our freedoms. Let's talk about social media, because that's what the new world is all about.
Facebook, our terms of service are less confusing now. Really? CNET says the social network isn't changing its policies. It's just trying to explain the better. It's like, look, you're the product. You tell us stuff, and then we use that to sell you stuff. How complicated is this?
Also, what is this stock photo?
That seems like something's Facebook commissioned.
Is this supposed to be a firework explosion, or is it a flower?
No, I think it's just like some abstract watercolor.
It's terrible. If Krista were here, she would critique it, but she's not here. I don't know what that says. But yeah, they are, you know, they see the writing on the wall.
They really do.
The governments are nipping at their heels, and not even nipping. They're taking chunks. Big chunks.
Is the writing on the wall or in the end of month analytics report?
Do they still call it your wall?
Yeah.
On Facebook? Yeah. The writing's on the wall. I get it.
The writing is not on the wall in this case, because one is using the wall.
So they're doing everything they can to kind of change their image, but they can't really change the problem because that's their business model. So I guess this is one way of doing it, right? You just rewrite some stuff in the terms of service.
We need more ethical companies involved in scouring your data to figure out how to use it to make money off of you. That's really what it comes to.
Yeah, I don't think those go together. Now, Facebook, up until this point, has been, like most of the other companies, at least when it comes to lip service, they like to talk about how they're on your side when it comes to privacy, right? I mean, yeah, we're going to scrape and sell your data, but we would never give it to anybody else except Cambridge Analytica. And one of the big hills that they usually will try to die on is with the government, right? If the government comes for you, we will stand in the way because we don't want to get that reputation. But Facebook may have finally given in.
In a world first, Facebook to give data on hate speech suspects to French courts. These are IP addresses and computers and accounts and things that may have been involved in hate speech as it's defined in France, which is a bit scary.
Which probably points out some of the immigration problems that they're having in France. Because that's evil and hate speech. And you will be prosecuted for it. And Mr. Zuckerberg will essentially be testifying against you.
I think that the French prosecutors in this case, laid a pretty brilliant trap for Facebook in this case, because if Facebook didn't turn it over, which seems like what the prosecution was expecting, then that opens up the door to more regulation and fines and things like, oh, they're not self-regulating, they don't understand how things work here in France. It's a very, very interesting sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't situation that Facebook was in.
But the moral of the story is, for the love of God, don't post anything on Facebook that is even mildly controversial, because it's not safe. I don't care how strongly you feel about it. Don't do it.
What do you hope to accomplish?
Yeah, really. That's, you know, it's like the whole arguing with people on the internet. And I use the term people, but the real term is something else. The other thing about Facebook is, through all these scandals and all these headlines, you have to wonder, how are they still surviving? But, you know, quarter after quarter, we see their numbers, and they're like, no, look at these user numbers. We're actually slowly putting on new users. We're not losing people at all. Things are going well, but perhaps that's not the metric we should be looking at.
Facebook usage falling after privacy scandals, data suggests. Actions such as likes and shares are down nearly 20%, though user numbers are still growing. Here's a helpful hint for you. Those user numbers are growing because bots. So anytime you want a community to look like it's growing like crazy, you just turn off the controls to keep bots out, and then all of a sudden it's like, we got all these new user accounts. This is amazing.
You know where else likes and shares are plummeting? Level 1 tags. All of YouTube, I guess.
We're trying. Oh, there goes our ad blocker.
When you work at Facebook, you are probably self-aware, right? You recognize what's going on, and it's bad, especially if you work in the censorship department where you have to try and look at all the horrible stuff like we talked about.
Let's be clear. Those are contractors. Those are not Facebook.
Well, of course. But, you know, we talked about last week, you're watching suicides and people killing pets and rapes and things like that all day long. And some people have taken interesting routes to vent that frustration.
A Facebook contractor was reportedly fired for posting Bruce Springsteen lyrics on their internal network as a response to something that Facebook executives have posted about, we're going to, you know, try to improve the situation and make sure everybody can earn a little bit more money. The Bruce Springsteen lyrics, not being familiar with them myself, didn't really have the same gravity. But if you read them literally, it might have seemed like a veiled threat, which is why they fired him. But I don't think that was really the context.
Bruce Springsteen's music is very like small town blue collar suffering type of thing. Like, you know, the rich old man running the factory is keeping us down and killing us and not paying us enough, and the government, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I can see how a company would be a little bit threatened by that.
Mm.
But I think you're right in terms of, this is one of those situations where they're like, wait a minute, is this a shooter? I don't understand what's going on here. Is this a shooter? It's a shooter, isn't it? Get rid of them. We can't have that. It can't happen.
I don't think it was that at all, but that's fine.
No, because they said they were worried.
Yeah.
That he would be a threat to the workplace.
They're worried that his line of thinking might catch on.
No, I don't think that's not the thing that they were selling. They were selling like, no, this man is a literal threat.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was probably a lot of that too, where it's like, now this sounds like union talk. We've talked about the European Union and all those European countries, and they've figured out that Facebook is basically a cash register.
What did you do wrong? It's like, here you go.
And they're all in debt, so it's real easy. When things don't add up at the end of the month, just walk over and take some money out of the cash register. And the latest one is Italy.
Italy has stung Facebook with a $1.1 million fine for Cambridge Analytica data misuse. That seems great. It's like, you mean to tell me, like if I were running Facebook, it's like, you mean to tell me that if I just give you $1 million, that's it? And that's the end of it for this whole Cambridge Analytica thing in all of Italy? That sounds good. That seems like a great deal.
This was the pre-GDPR numbers, so they're limited to what they can take. But, yeah, I think they were just getting what they could. Next time around, it will be quite a bit more.
But will Facebook have learned a lesson? And I think we all know the answer to that is no.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Oh, this is the one I couldn't read. The Financial Times was just like, no.
I almost cut this one. It's
kind of a rehash of, so it's about Facebook and their Libra coin. So it's Facebook co-founder. Libra coin would shift the power into the wrong hands. This is, like, we already talked about this, really, but this talks about Libra coin in places where Libra coin actually would be worth more than their currency.
Well, it's the idea that it's not necessarily worth more, but I think it's Gresham's law.
Good money, bad money forces out good.
And, so the idea is you would always trade your local currency for Libra, especially if Libra goes into a mania like Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Because not only is it more stable and backed by better currencies, but you're immune to capital controls and hyperinflation. So the co-founder loves to crap on Facebook. That's like, I think he probably likes being in, you know, in the spotlight a little bit, and no one cares about him because he's the co-founder. You know, he's like the the Pete Best of Facebook.
I don't even know who that is.
That's the fifth Beatle. They kicked him out right before they hit.
Oh, okay.
And so his whole life, he actually released an album called Best of the Beatles because his name is Pete Best. And he was just trying to write, you know. So that guy just loves to be in the spotlight. So they call him, like, you got a soundbite on this? And he's like, yeah, let's see. What do they want to hear? It's bad, you know. But he's probably not wrong. However, all of his arguments point out what every other cryptocurrency has advertised themselves as. They're like, yeah. Yeah, this is the problem. Here's how we're going to work around it. Capital controls are a problem. Here's how we're going to work around that. So Facebook probably doesn't want to say that because that would be...
What's stopping people from doing that now with Bitcoin? Just that's more legit because the larger names are involved?
Yeah, and think about, okay, you're a Greek peasant. And you're going to explain to your aging grandmother who you're trying to send all your money to in another country, no, you have to download a wallet. And do you have 100 gigabytes of free space? Because you need to get all of the past blockchain and download it. And then I'm going to say, okay, there's a 100-digit code that you've got to give me. And it has to be exactly right. You know, but with Facebook, it's just like, you know, here you go. Take it. That's all the Facebook news. If you hated that, it's over.
Timestamp.
I'm sorry. Now let's talk about YouTube and the YouTube recommendations, which are oft maligned for leading you down dark paths.
We've literally complained about this. I can't tell you how many times. So Bloomberg is saying YouTube lets users override recommendations after criticism. Listen, it's not the criticism. People have been criticizing this for the better part of 10 years. It's like you go and you get channels and your recommendation, and it's like, I don't want to see this terrible channel that has, like, it's just like, I don't know, it's like the clickbait, viral, terrible, terrible stuff that's like on the trending tab usually is pretty bad. And so you're like, I don't want to see the channel ever again. And it's like, cool. And then you reload the page and it's like, hey, you want to see this? And it's like, that's from that channel that I just told you that I do not want to see. And so finally somebody pointed out that a lot of the stuff that it's recommending is stuff that the algorithm thinks is highly engaging, but that's actually the worst sort of content. And so now YouTube is like, you know what? We should maybe respect what people ask for.
So now you can blacklist an entire channel, and it just simply will never show it to you again. Please do this for Google Music. Oh my God. In the recommended new releases, you can downvote every song by the artist, and it will be like, hey, here's a recommended new release. It's that thing that you hate. And you can't get rid of them. And I don't understand why. It makes no sense. It's terribly done.
That's engagement. You're clicking on that and you're engaging with those things. That is great in the eyes of the algorithm.
I guess so.
I mean, isn't that just the literal, like, isn't this what Kafka warned us about? Like the Kafka, like...
also in YouTube news, I mean, ever since rap has existed, well, I mean, you had like that Grandmaster Flash type stuff, which was more upbeat, but rap didn't really hit till they started talking about killing cops and dealing drugs. That was real rap, and it always will be, if I have anything to say about it. And in the UK, because they are under a more oppressive government, they don't rap about shooting people because they can't. They rap about stabbing people. And YouTube has stepped in.
YouTube has deleted 130 rap videos to help police fight street gangs responsible for thousands of stabbings. So this headline, it's a Business Insider headline. And this is one of those headlines which is like, what on earth is going on here that YouTube is being... like, I legit don't understand what's happening here. And I don't think I could explain it to you succinctly. I really don't.
Well, but see, you're not a big consumer of rap. But rap has always been about... well, some rap has always been about violence. And that was like one of the big selling points.
I'm starting to understand why London has banned potato peelers.
Yeah, well, I don't think these guys are using potato peelers. But anyway, more and more, because... so, all of the gangster rappers from the 90s were not real gangsters. I hate to ruin it for you.
It was, you know, like the world wrestling, I mean, people.
Snoop Dogg did have that murder trial. And 50 Cent did get shot a bunch of times. So there's some outliers. But for example, Ice Cube, as we've seen, he's in Disney movies now. You know? He wasn't that hardcore. He was an educated, like, middle-class young man. And they told the stories of the people on the street, but they were not those people. So it was kind of okay. But with things like YouTube, the literal gangsters are now making music and talking about real things that are happening. There's no barrier to entry. So they're talking about real things that they're doing.
Yeah, I got the impression that, like, the two gangs were having a rap battle, and it's like, okay, that's a great way to take, like, that doesn't seem like normal gang activity. But then the rap battle is describing the events wherein there was a knife fight on the underground tube or something.
Did you know in Mexico they've got a this thing like I can't remember what it's called, but you write songs about criminals or crimes, and sometimes one cartel will like come to you and be like, "You're going to write an amazing song about our leader, our cartel leader," and you can't say no. But if the song is too good and it gives that cartel leader a bunch of fame, a rival cartel might kill you for it.
I shouldn't laugh about that because that's actually horrifying,
That's
but what
dark.
sort of a terrible world do we live in? I mean,
Yeah.
this is just completely insane. This article talks specifically about how, like, one poor kid was kidnapped and tortured for material for the videos. And so I get why police are taking it down, but good Lord, London, what are you doing?
I mean, we have this problem too.
Yeah, but I mean, it's
There
just.
was have you ever seen the video where they're filming a music video and they decided to bring all their guns to the local park to film a music video, and then the cops raided them and that made it into the music video. So, street cred, man. Twitter. Let's move on to Twitter. And Twitter has introduced a controversial new policy that affects maybe its most famous Twitterer. Twitter.
Tweet Twitter says it will label tweets from Trump and other leaders that break its rules. So normally you get censured or sanctioned by Twitter, but with the President of the US, when he does something, like, it's a weird situation. So now they're just going to label it and be like, this violates our policy.
How many other worldly? Well, you've got that Duarte guy. He'll get it. Trump will get it. Who else is controversial enough?
All of North Korea.
Oh, you think Xi will get it?
Yeah.
Oh, he won't like that. He'll ban Twitter the first time that happens. Putin, you think Putin will get it? Is he on? He's not on Twitter,
Don't
is
think
he?
he cares.
You don't think he's on Twitter? They have their own thing, right?
Yeah.
He might be on Twitter. I'm sure there's fake Putins on Twitter. Speaking of Trump, this week Reddit has finally taken the step to ban one of the most popular subreddits, the Donald.
Reddit has quarantined this pro-Trump subreddit over anti-police threats. They actually posted some of the threats in the article. Usually it's like, oh, there's just lots of things happening, but
This is interesting.
interesting.
Well, it's do you know what it's based on? It's based on that Oregon climate change vote.
Well, they were calling for a lot of violence against the police, according to the moderators, and some of the messages are, like, super terrible, but that's
No, but
from
it's
people.
because so in Oregon they had a climate change vote. It was that cap and trade stuff, and the Republicans were in the minority. So in order to skip the vote, they just went into hiding. And they have this law in Oregon that the leader of the House or whatever can actually enlist local law enforcement to try and track down absentee lawmakers to make them come to the vote. And the lawmakers said, "We're not coming." And so the state police were mobilized. And then the militias joined in on the side of the Republican lawmakers. So they were talking about that. So it was cop killing in the context of a very convoluted political situation. Oh yeah, it's crazy, all right. That's a perfect word to describe it. Anyway, it's been quarantined, and
Don't know if it's coming back.
I think they that's been a thorn in the side of Reddit for a long time, because
You crossed the line.
Yeah, that's not their narrative. So I think they'll take that opportunity to just never bring that back. And now on to nonsense. Our first story is about spinach and something that we should all have known since children, right? I mean, who doesn't know this? But now we have scientific proof.
Spinach chemicals should be put on a doping ban list, say researchers. And they've got the Popeye, you know, because have you, I don't even, how, would our audience even have seen this? Like
Popeye, 1945.
Yeah, Popeye eats spinach and gets like super strong and can do anything. And it turns out there's something to that.
You ever see the guy that Popeye's based on, the real guy? Looks exactly like him. It's amazing that a man looks that freaky. So, if you're thinking to yourself, what? I can just eat spinach and have superpowers? Well, yeah, it's true.
But you have to eat so much of it, it's insane.
8.8 pounds a day. So, giraffe portions. I think spinach has, you can develop kidney problems if you eat too much spinach. So that's,
you could probably concentrate it and then maybe it wouldn't be so bad.
Well, that's what these guys are doing. And but they're saying that it's not like steroids level, but it does have like so many percentage increase to your strength, which I don't know. I mean, I always thought that performance enhancing drugs were banned because they might be bad for you. But would this be bad for you?
Probably not. I don't know. Spinach. Being a nutritionist. All right. It's like, oh, your kidneys are shutting down. Oh, okay, that would be bad.
But I don't know if you get that with this.
Is it going to devolve into like the world's strongest man who can survive on 2,000 calories a day? Because that's going to be a very different world's strongest man versus like the regular world's strongest man.
I don't think the world's strongest man tests. I'm not sure all those men are natural. The International Space Station. This article points out, and I've definitely had this idea, that the International Space Station is a very sterile environment. And, you know, it's like that image you have from the movies where it's basically like a surgical theater. You know, everything is gleaming white. There are no shadows. There's no dirt.
There's literal particles of fecal matter just floating through the air.
Apparently that's not true at all.
The ISS is home to super tough molds that laugh in the face of deadly radiation. So, yeah, there's some pictures there, I guess. Is that some of the deadly mold?
I imagine so. That's not wide at all. You think that wall was always yellow?
There was an article that we did last year, the year before, that talked about how it seemed like the rate of DNA modification increased dramatically when in the space station. So it's like this thing underwent mutations way faster than it normally does in Earth's gravitational field. So I wonder if the mold has evolved to be super mold.
Well, you might be thinking, okay, so is that really that big a deal? Like, why don't you just vent the place, right?
Into space?
Send everybody off. Send everybody home. Vent it. Close it back up and then come back. You know, well, here's the thing. When we go to Mars, we're going to be on that ship. Even if we improve things a lot, we're going to be on there, what, 2 or 3 years?
Yeah.
After 2 or 3 years of living on a ship, once we step off onto Mars, we're bringing this shit with us. And who knows what happens? Who knows what that leads to? You know, there's probably some crap on the moon.
Yeah.
Probably couldn't live up there, but maybe it could. Maybe it takes over. What if the moon just got covered in mold?
I don't know. I can think of at least 2 or 3 episodes of Star Trek where major plot points were around cellular fossils where, you know, this life is completely barren and then, like, you know, something like a mold spore was wedged in a rock. It's like, oh, we figured it out from the mold spore wedged in the rock.
Hmm. And that's exactly how reality works. Star Trek. Google Maps. Often you find out people who follow Google Maps to their own doom. Sometimes there was a guy last week that tried to swim. Google Maps told him to take a swim. He almost died from a riptide. This week, we have a less dangerous situation, but affected a lot more people.
Nearly 100 drivers followed a Google Maps detour and ended up stuck in an empty field. Sometimes I see stuff like this, and I think the Google AI is experimenting on us.
Well, this would have worked. Something happened. There was a traffic jam or something, and so this was on the way to an airport. And it would have worked if not for the constant and torrential rains that we've been experiencing here in the U.S. So a field that would have just been a dirt road was now a mud road. And it was only the one little dirt road. So when one person failed, nobody could get around them.
Nice.
That is the problem with traffic, that it only takes one person to ruin it. Now, we talked about the mold that will go with us to Mars. And this article talks about a very novel approach to how we might breach the problem with how long it takes to get to Mars.
Mars colonization could be possible through a sperm bank in space, the study suggests. Scientists have find that frozen sperm exposed to 0G could go where no man has gone before. But why?
So they have presented the theory that it might be best that the Mars ship be single gender. All women or men, of course, I don't think the all men version works in this scenario, but if you have a ship, all women on a Mars colony ship, they fly to Mars with frozen sperm and they use said frozen sperm to colonize on Mars and create more people.
Why wouldn't I just take more people?
It's not that long a trip, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if we're talking about, you know, a generation ship, okay. But now here's my question. What if the effects of, you know, pregnancy in space or on Mars create some kind of crazy messed up kids? And then all these women die off, and then it's just the crazy messed up people on Mars, and we have like a new type of humanity.
They made a movie about that, Lord of the Flies.
Well, those kids weren't
I
affected by, they were just mentally messed up by the isolation. These kids would be, you know, somehow physically affected. That'd be a whole new kind of humanity, and then we'd have to try to communicate with them and trade with them. It'd be crazy.
starting to question the level of awesomeness of The Guardian as a source of stuff.
Yeah. Well, like I said earlier, we use the mainstream media stories, understanding that they have faults. And you should as well. Speaking of faults, how about, so Japan, they are deadly serious about things being on time. There was that story
It
about
is genuinely impressive.
the train was late a minute, and everybody got a handwritten apology because they're just like, we don't tolerate lateness, which makes this story even more impressive.
A small slug has thrown Japan's high-speed rail into chaos. Now, for some reason, I missed this one.
I don't think it was this particular slug, because the slug that did it, actually, they found him, and so there was an exposed terminal in one of the breaker boxes. He had bridged it.
Oh, and that caused the power failure.
Yeah, cooked him, and caused a power failure. And I think there was maybe enough left of him to continue the short. So until they pried him out of there, they couldn't get the trains running again.
Wow.
But yeah, they did issue an apology saying that the terminal should not have been exposed, and it was their fault, and they're terribly, terribly apologetic. So.
One slug, the best laid plans of mice and men, something,
But
something.
it did cost him his life. If that makes you feel any better, people of Japan.
It violently exploded.
Once again, you know, should have put all these Mars stories together, but it's getting kind of late in the day, and I'm not thinking correctly. So they're not all together. But how about a fart on Mars? What does it mean?
NASA's rover on Mars detects puff of gas that hints at the possibility of life. So this is a puff of methane, and there are some chemical reactions that could produce methane gas, but generally, sources of methane are biological processes. And so, as you alluded to, something on Mars farted, and the rover got a whiff of
The
it.
rover smelt it. Did not. Not there was not the rover that dealt it against the you know, the classic belief. So before you get too excited, it could be that this was just trapped underground, and it could have been ancient life that created this methane, and something happened, like a rover driving over the ground and disrupting something that released it. But either way, even if it was ancient life, that's
That's still pretty impressive.
it's exciting.
There was an experiment in the 70s to figure out if Mars had life, and one of the experiments was that they sprayed the soil with sugar water that had a radioactive isotope of carbon that could be detected by the instrumentation. And in the control, they baked one set of soil at like 500 degrees, and then the other one, they didn't do that. And the soil that was not baked was respirating the sugar. Like, the sugar was showing up in the gas, like something had consumed it. And the other soil didn't do that after it had been baked. And so it's like, oh, that's evidence of, you know, microbial life on Mars eating the radioactive sugar to produce radioactive carbon dioxide. But NASA was like, nope, that was a chemical process. And it's like, on what do you base that? And they're like, there can't be life on Mars.
Probably a conspiracy.
So every time methane shows up on Mars, I'm like, ah, look at that!
There's definitely cows underground farting.
You don't know. Morlocks. They would be underground. They would be Morlocks.
This story, we're getting an ad block notice, but I have to preface this. So this is the Washington Post. This is one of those sources. And they did have an addendum about one of these guys is a chiropractor. And he has like a business that's trying to capitalize on this. So maybe this was a bit of a sensational headline.
No. So this is reported everywhere. It's like Australian researchers find horns growing on young people's skulls from phone overuse. And so this is like the tendons that attach to the back of your skull because you're looking down all the time. And your body adjusts. Like if you carry a lot of heavy things, you know, your musculature, and depending on how... As you grow, I mean, if you're a kid and you do stuff, your body adjusts to whatever you're doing with it, even your bone structure. And so these guys are just saying, hey, because everybody's always looking down at their phone, there's a protrusion forming at the back of people's skulls to help. And that's not really evolutionary per se. That's just...
Yeah, it basically helps you hold that position without straining the muscle constantly. It's basically a little hook that, like, catches the ligaments and stuff back there and lets you suspend your head, which is, I mean, it's dark, you know. That's the kind of thing that, do you think, okay, let's say the world gets wiped out, you know, whatever, but some people survive and we start over, you know, it's one of those stories, and future anthropologists dig us up and they're like, well, that's weird, in 2019
everybody's gonna get this weird lump,
they underwent a change. You think they'd ever figure it out?
No, they never would. It'd be like that thing they excavated in from the Mayans, and it was like a pit, and it's like, oh, there's some broken pottery here, and you keep digging, and it's like, oh, there's discarded children down here. Oh, was this children's sacrifice?
Speaking of excavation, another thing that could confuse the anthropologists is if they find a giant pit filled with e-scooters.
At least 57 e-scooters and bikes found at the bottom of the Portland River. And some were still in working order. So these are like the e-bikes where you can rent it on an app. What? I guess, I mean, it makes sense. Somebody, you get to the end of your ride, and it's like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. You just toss it in the river.
Why not just leave it there?
Well,
because, I mean, anything that can be done to tie you to that is going to survive being thrown in the river.
Probably already going to be in the app and
so
in the satellite.
So I don't know what you accomplished, but maybe you say that it was stolen?
But that's the whole point of these ride-sharing things, isn't it? It's like one showed up in your area, and it's like, oh, I only have to walk a block, and then I can get one of these scooters and go on. Maybe, like, isn't that the whole point of the app?
Maybe you don't want your enemies using it.
Whatever wealthy person is funding this, listen, just give me the money. I will get a better return on it than whatever this is, because there's no way that this is making enough money to survive 57 of these being thrown to the bottom.
See, I don't think it's necessarily... it's for profit, I'm sure, but you're also probably there's some kind of subsidy for reducing carbon because you're getting people to use these instead of driving.
So this is just really laundering money somehow.
It might be the guys who own the scooter company who are throwing them in the river because it's one of those cost plus contracts. And it's like, I don't know, we keep losing scooters. Better buy more at, you know, 5x margin.
We're so successful with this. Look at this. This is so amazing.
AirPods. So they've done some studies about AirPod users, and I don't see a lot of people using these around here, but apparently in big cities it's a problem that people have them on all the time. And the question is, how far do some people take it? And the answer is extreme.
17%, in fact, people with Apple AirPods owners have admitted to sex while wearing them.
That's gotta be. I mean, I guess if both partners are wearing them, it's not insulting. But if you're the one not wearing them, you really got to reevaluate the relationship.
What if you're wearing them and listening to an e-book? Yeah.
A podcast?
This podcast.
Level one news.
As a matter of fact.
You think there's anything sexy about these dark stories? But yeah, apparently people self-reported this. So 17% of people said that yes, I keep them on during sex, which I mean, the auditory part of sex is part of it, right? Like that's supposed to be one of the more titillating parts of the process. And yet you would rather, I would love to know, you think they ask them what kind of music they listen to? Because that I would love to know that part of the equation.
On the plane ride, there was a disturbing number of people wearing AirPods the entire time.
Well, on a plane makes more sense because you don't have anything else to do.
Well, I mean, not just like during the plane ride, like boarding and sitting down. It's like, when you need to communicate with other passengers, like, I'm going to put my bag on top of your bag because there's nowhere else to put it. Is
That's
that
what
okay?
you just smack it out of their ear.
Yeah, they're just.
That's the beauty of the AirPod. Just take it
If
and throw
you smack them hard enough, it'll just pop out on its own.
it. There have been a lot of reports about Alexa and some of the other home automation things doing weird things. There was the one where it was laughing. Remember that?
Yeah.
I think one was crying. One was communicating oddly with the children. There's been a lot of weird reports of things going down, and now we have another data point.
Alexa has called a guy a shithead after he canceled his Prime subscription. X doubt, but then you read and it's like, well, maybe.
Well, here's the thing that makes me maybe think that it's possible. They gave him a pretty big refund and apologized to him. Now, here's the thing that might explain it. He had canceled his Prime subscription the day before. And I think it's one of those situations where you can't just cancel it online and make you call in. It's like, oh, we hate to lose your business. Please call us so we can talk to you about this. And I have a feeling that the person on the other end was doing that loss prevention. Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
And where they do everything they can to not give you what you want. And he maybe got a little terse with them and they made a note on his account. A note that they didn't know was available to Alexa.
Would
So,
like that note to be available to me, not just
I
Alexa.
mean, I'm speculating. That might not be what it is at all, but how else do you explain it? So, Mr. Shithead, I think he got like 300 pounds refund for his prime year. Have you ever done e-ticketing?
Yes.
They have that new concert ticket thing where it's constantly shifting. That seems really annoying because you have to have a phone. But they are trying to convince people here, this was the UK, I guess, to go with e-ticketing. You know, paperless, right? Got to save the earth. However, this poor lady has a story that might talk you out of it.
Pastor has been threatened with court for using a screenshot of her e-ticket. The traveler was allowed to board the train, but was later told she would have to pay a £160 fare for the train. So instead of like having the app, it was a screenshot of the app, which.
Which, well, here's the thing though. It's not just the app. A PDF is okay too. They email you a PDF. Is a PDF not essentially a screenshot? So this was a situation where she boarded a train and it was fine. But then there was some sort of disruption, so she had to do a layover type deal. I don't know what do they call that in train world. Anyway, she couldn't go directly to her location. She had to go on two more trains, I think, and the next one was fine. The final one, she got this ticket Nazi who was like, "No, this is a screenshot. I know a screenshot when I see it." And the woman was like, "Yeah, but I mean, I'm kind of stranded here if you don't let me on the train because everybody else has been fine with this." And they had a big thing, and they actually sent her a bill, which she paid under protest. But when they found out about it, they were like, "Oh, actually, we do allow this, and that's weird, although the official policy says no, so she kind of was right." And it seems like nobody knows. She did get her money back, but
What a terrible mess.
she has sworn off e-tickets, as you might imagine. Here's a story that definitely shows the rapid decline of human civilization.
Oh, selfies are now 5 times more deadly than shark attacks, according to this report. So people are trying to take selfies with stuff going on in the background and doing things like walking in front of buses or walking off of ledges or...
That's something like this, perhaps.
Yeah, so it's not a good situation.
Yeah, and I thought they had some better pictures, but they don't. But yeah, people, dangerous animals, heights are a big one. boating accidents are big.
Look, I put my head inside the polar bear's mouth. Yeah. Nothing can go wrong.
That type of thing. And it's so prevalent that it has overtaken sharks. Now, sharks get kind of a bad rap. I don't think sharks kill that many people.
No.
For real. But, and even when they do attack, they don't usually kill you. But still, it's sad. Also, overwhelmingly Indians doing this.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They love the dangerous selfies over in India.
But I wouldn't think that was true based on the number of times that I've seen somebody almost die in a metropolitan scenario trying to take a selfie, like wandering in the middle of traffic or in front of a bus or whatever.
Oh, you ever see that Indian traffic?
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. Or like it is a little bit more dangerous.
Hanging off one of those trains that's 5,000% overloaded.
Yeah, taking a selfie at that scenario is probably not a good idea.
I included this story and... you know, I forgot that Krista wasn't going to be here, but I thought it would be fun to see her reaction to this.
Wedding loans are financing an already indebted America. So, you know, I remember a time when banks wouldn't loan out money for this kind of thing.
I mean, with most loans, you expect to have some sort of appreciation or return, right?
Or there's an asset involved.
But here, there's none of those things.
Yeah.
In fact... statistically, 50% of these loans are going to be for failed marriages.
Yeah. So why would you do this? And that doesn't, unlike student loans. Now, student loans in federal law in the United States, that survives bankruptcy and hardship. It's almost impossible to get student loan debt discharged. So it's a very safe debt for somebody to take on.
Bernie Sanders says, hold my beer. Although he is going to pay them.
Yeah.
He's going to pay them with our money.
Yeah. Yeah. Tax dollar money. But, a loan for, like, a destination wedding, like, that's messed up. Like, why? At what point? Like, culturally, we don't need that.
How dare you? They had a quote from some girl in there. She's like,
they're coming down, man.
I just felt like we needed a magical day. Oh, I can't look at it because of ad block. But, yeah, that's...
You can have a magical day without spending that much money.
No.
No.
No, you have to have acrobats and an open bar and all of those things. You have to have a magician. To get you know, like some, I don't know who the hot new wedding singer would be. I'm drawing a complete blank on who would be the, oh, Celine Dion. You have to have Celine Dion do your wedding performance.
Wow.
This once again, you know, it's too bad that Chris is not here. Because she would love this article.
There were 50 versions of this article all over the internet. Everybody was super.
Wow.
This dominated my news feed when it popped up.
It's so salacious. You know, it's guaranteed to click. But before you hear about it, I'm sorry to tell you, if you hear this and you get excited, I'm sorry to say it's already gone.
The creator of the Deep Nude, an app that undresses photos of women, has taken it offline. An app that algorithmically undresses images of women was taken down by its creator, citing server overload and other potential harms.
Now, undressed is in quotes there, for good reason. Because what this did is it was basically one of those adversarial networks. And it had a giant library of nudes in it. Because that's easy to do on the internet. So it would take your picture of the girl. And it only works for girls, not because of sexism, but because of the overwhelming ratio of nudes of women versus nudes of men. They did not have enough man nudes to make the network work for men, which is hilarious. But it would take the picture of the girl, figure out her position, like what, you know, how she was working. They also admitted that it doesn't really work if she's not facing forward. It really only works if you have, like, you know, a front profile, or not profile, but like a front forward-facing picture. It finds nudes that fit her body type and skin tone and stuff like that, and then substitutes them in and creates an AI-generated nude person. So it doesn't necessarily look anything like
Was this the one? Scroll down a little bit. No. Okay. So
There are no examples.
the one that I saw of this, the author, the article author, had used about 50 pictures of Taylor Swift. And they were just like, this is incredible. This is absolutely incredible. I can't believe it does as good of a job with it. And it was just Taylor Swift over like the last 10 years.
Did they show the nudes?
No, well, they had cropped it such that, but yeah.
Well, then how do we know if it's any good or not? But yeah, this thing, it's also not new. So this app has been out for a while,
Yeah.
and no one cared because, again, it's not that great. But somebody did a story. I think Vice might be the one that broke this, right? And after Vice did the story, they got so many downloads that it crashed all the servers. And then they started getting a bunch of press, and people lashed out at them.
Get that big Amazon bill because a million people have
Yeah.
downloaded
And so now they have refunded all the money and
it, and it's just like,
promised not to do this ever again.
oh no. Oh no. Okay, so there's some big news happening on Sunday. So we're going to have a video out on Sunday, a lot of content out on Sunday. Look for that. And that's it for the news this week.